Greetings, everyone, and welcome to today's program. Have you ever wondered why God created the universe and all life forms? If you knew why God created the universe and everything that is in the universe, you would be able to answer many of the questions that people have about God and religion. The question as to why God created the universe and humankind can be answered in a few short words, which we'll do near the conclusion of this broadcast. But these words elude the minds of the so-called great thinkers through the ages, and especially those in our so-called postmodern world. Almost every day you read about a new attack on God and religion. In his book, The God Delusion, British ethologist Richard Dawkins argues that belief in a supernatural creator qualifies as a delusion. He defines delusion as a persistent false belief held in the face of strong contradictory evidence. His definition is similar to Robert Persick's. Persick's observation is, when one person suffers from a delusion, it is called insanity. When many people suffer from a delusion, it is called religion, end quote. To show how far the peoples of the Western world have strayed from their Bible-based beliefs, The God Delusion was ranked number 2 on the Amazon.com bestsellers list in November of 06. In early December 06, it reached number 4 in the New York Times hardcover nonfiction bestseller list. And as of February 14, 07, it is listed at number 8 after 20 weeks on the list in the New York Times. Dawkins begins chapter 2 by describing Yahweh, the God of the Old Testament, as, quote, arguably the most unpleasant character in all fiction. He views the Bible as fiction. Jealous and proud of it, a petty, unjust, unforgiving control freak, a vindictive, bloodthirsty ethnic cleanser, a misogynistic, homophobic, racist, infanticidal, genocidal, filicidal, pestilential, megalomaniacal, sadomasochistic, capriciously male-violent bully. He continues by suggesting that the God hypothesis is, quote, there exists a superhuman, supernatural intelligence who deliberately designed and created the universe and everything in it, including us. He says that that is a scientific hypothesis like any other. How could it be? I think he really reveals science in that case, because science is a hypothesis, whereas that which is in the scripture is based on revelation and is verifiable in the annals of human history. All one has to do is to look at the many messianic prophecies concerning the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, and see how that was fulfilled perfectly to the letter of the law and to the letter of the prophecy with the birth of Jesus Christ in Bethlehem. In addition to that, many prophecies concerning the disposition of various nations that have already been fulfilled. How could such an intelligent, highly educated man make such statements, such kinds of descriptions of God, so disrespectful, so blasphemous? And more importantly, why would so many people take him seriously, so that his book, The God Delusion, has been on the bestseller list of several different companies for quite a long time? A principal reason for the gullibility centers on the gross ignorance of the revelation of God in the Bible. And even those who study parts of the Bible do not really understand the plan and purpose of God, because they don't look at the whole picture from God existing in eternity to his creation of the universe, to his creation of the angelic realms, the creation of human beings, and his great redemptive plan of salvation. The evangelistic efforts of the day focus on getting people to believe in Jesus as their Savior. And Jesus is indeed our Savior, but to believe that Jesus is our Savior does not explain the plan and purpose of God in eternity, in and of itself. Most people, and especially nominally professing Christians, have never really focused on the great questions of life. The great intellectual movements of modern and postmodern history have not been led by Christians. Now, there were some movements in earlier times that to some degree were led by those who claimed to be Christians, but really what they taught was not based on the truth, as in the case of Thomas Aquinas of the Catholic Church. And there have been others who have tried to explain the great tenets of Christianity in more intellectual terms. Christians have abdicated their responsibility for defending the God of the Bible through sound theological, philosophical, and scientific thought and teaching. Preachers are so busy trying to save souls, and actually the soul doesn't need to be saved in one sense because you are a soul, you need to be saved, and you don't have inherent immortal life abiding in you. If you did, there would be no need for Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Redeemer, to come on the scene if you already have an immortal soul. But through God and through Jesus Christ, you can live forever and you can become immortal as a glorious, radiant spirit being in the family of God. But preachers say they are saving souls and that the answers to the great questions of life have therefore been left to the intellectuals, academicians, and scientists who continually question the existence of God and the truth of the Bible. The theories and scientific evidence that is produced by these people is systematized and taught as truth in the schools and colleges and universities of the Western world. The Apostle Paul summarizes the futility of our learning apart from God in 2 Timothy 3:7, quote, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Your child is in school for about 7 hours a day for 9 months over a period of 12 to 13 years. Then he graduates from high school, leaves your home, where you at least have an opportunity to do some teaching and guidance. And then there is college. He goes off to college at a very impressionable age in which the intellectuals bombard him continuously with messages that there is no God. Most parents talk to their children in an instructive sense less than 30 minutes a day, and more families have no religious affiliation. Should we be surprised when we discover that very few people can name the first four books of the New Testament? In one sense, Jesus is all we need if we understand the whole story of the why and how of Jesus in the salvation process. But the peoples of the Western world would especially have become intellectually lazy when it comes to studying the disciplines that focus on answering the great questions of the ages. Once again, the peoples of the Western world especially have become intellectually lazy when it comes to studying the great disciplines that focus on answering the great questions of the ages. Hardly anyone teaches logic anymore. Hardly anyone teaches us how to think critically and how to really examine things in a systematic way. Almost everyone immediately raises the question of relevancy in classes. That's what students do when it comes to the subjects they study. Oh, why study history? The relevancy usually centers on how this is going to help them make a living. Just teach me how to program the computer. I don't need to understand anything about history, theology, or philosophy, or logic, or any other thing. Just teach me how to make money and have fun, and forget about everything else. So most people today wind up letting someone else do their thinking for them when it comes to how the great issues are explained, those issues that will determine our future. The great movements of history stem from some kind of theoretical and or philosophical system, and that may have theology and other issues involved in it, that attempt to govern the activities of the people, especially in the social, economic, political, and religious dimensions of their behavior. In other words, the great movements in history are spawned by some kind of philosophical and or theological system that seeks to control the activities of humankind in every aspect of their being. But our educational systems have failed to teach students how to think, how to develop a comprehensive worldview that frees them from fear, ignorance, superstition, and the dogmas of man. It is much easier to control people when they do not think about, much less understand, the philosophical structure that enslaves them. The great deceiver has reduced their thoughts to seeking the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. They are willing to work their 40 hours a week as long as they're able to indulge in the pleasures of the flesh. Forget about thinking on the great issues of life and the moral depravity that grips the minds and hearts of our peoples. The scientific world is fond of quoting causal relationships. Is it chance that as the world doubts the existence of God and His Word, the problems of humanity continue to expand exponentially? Is there a causal relationship between forgetting God and the problems that beset the peoples of the world? I submit that such is the case. When a person from any discipline takes up the pen to critique the world of religion, he can always find a multitude of reasons for blaming religion for the plight of humanity. However, religious persuasions are man-made. They are interpretations of what they believe concerning God. Do they really look at the Bible and the Word of God in the whole, as it were, from God existing in eternity to the present time to what there was going to be in the future? There have been four major systems that have attempted to answer the great questions of the ages. One, the revelation of God in the Bible, that is, true religion. The principal methodology of true religion is revelation and reason based on revealed truths. Secondly, the influence of the fallen spirit world. False religion has attempted to answer the great questions of life. And in almost every false religion, there is linked to it the inextricable linking of a doctrine called the immortality of the soul. The principal methodology of false religion is deception and an appeal to emotion. Then there, thirdly, philosophy has attempted to answer the great questions of life. The principal methodology of philosophy is human reasoning. And then science. Science is the God of this present world, you might say, whose principal methodology is based on empirical knowledge. That is, knowledge that can be observed and measured and replicated. In the strictest sense, science denies the existence of the spirit world. When we come back for the next segment of our program, we'll continue to explore the systems that have tried to answer the great questions of life and also the answer to the question, why did God create the universe and humankind? If you would really like to understand God, who He is and what He is, and what is His plan and purpose, then you need to call for our free booklet, What is Your Destiny? This booklet, What is Your Destiny, will explain to you who God is, what is His plan and purpose, and what is man, what is His plan, and what is His purpose. In other words, why were you born? Why do you draw breath? You'll find out that you were created for a great transcendental purpose, that you were created to become a son or daughter in the family of God. And upon resurrection into the family of God, you will be a glorious, radiant spirit being, an heir of God and joint heir of Jesus Christ, as Paul writes in Romans 8:17. You should read that scripture for yourself. So to receive this free booklet, What is Your Destiny? All you have to do is to call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, that toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. And now back to World News and Prophecy. As we have seen in the first segment of our program, there are many now who are questioning the existence of God. Richard Dawkins' book, The God Delusion, has been on the bestseller list in Amazon.com and also in New York Times nonfiction listing. And it continues to be on the New York Times bestseller list, there for about 20 weeks, now ranked number 8. We have seen that, in the strictest sense, science denies the existence of the spirit world. However, there are thousands of scientists that believe in an intelligent creator. Their belief in an intelligent creator is based on the incredible intricacies of creation and life forms. Recent studies into the structure of the human genome have highlighted the improbability of humans evolving from lower life forms. There are simply no intermediate species that provide the quantum leaps that would be necessary in the genome to account for gradual states of evolution. Gradualism does not account for the sudden appearance of higher and more sophisticated life forms. So now many scientists are embracing punctualism. Punctualism asserts that catastrophic events wiped out various life forms, and suddenly new and more developed life forms appeared. And some people talk about stages of divine creation. The book of Genesis, chapter 1, clearly outlines the steps of creation and also about recreation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and then he created the angelic realm, and then he created humankind. Of course, in between all of that, there was the creation of other various life forms. And one of the great problems with punctualism is the fact that there are not sufficient catastrophic global events to account for the sudden appearance of higher life forms. It can really only be accounted for by creation. In chapter 5 of Richard Dawkins' book, The God Delusion, he explores the roots of religion and why religion is so ubiquitous, that means ever-present, all-pervasive across all human cultures. Dawkins advocates, quote, the theory of a religion as an accidental byproduct, a misfiring of something useful, and asks whether the theory of memes, M-E-M-E-S, and human susceptibility to religious memes in particular might work to explain how religion might spread like a, quote, mind virus across societies. Like a mind virus. The term meme rhymes with dream. It was coined by zoologist Richard Dawkins in his 77 or 76 book about evolution. He says the selfish gene. Dawkins doesn't claim genes are selfish in the same way as, say, kids who won't share. Rather, he explained the genes carried by each individual are the driving force behind evolution. But Dawkins views the transmissions of genes not just in physical terms, but in metaphysical terms. Now, what do you mean by metaphysical term? A metaphysical term has to do with that which transcends the physical. Dawkins asserts, as sentient beings, we consider ourselves masters of our own fates, but in reality, we're just the battle bots in which competing genes slug it out, determining through the impersonal workings of natural selection which will survive. Dawkins proposes that the meme is to culture what the gene is to biology. A meme is a reproducible idea and as such is the basic unit of cultural transmission. In his words, quote, examples of memes are tunes, ideas, catchphrases, clothes, fashions, ways of making pots, of building arches. Just as genes propagate themselves in the gene pool by leaping from body to body via sperm or eggs, so memes propagate themselves in the meme pool by leaping from brain to brain by a process, which in the broad sense can be called imitation. He goes on to say, a meme isn't just any fleeting impression of random thought. One defining characteristic of a meme is that it reproduces itself with a fair degree of fidelity. A joke is a meme, so is the alphabet, he says. One can argue that language is the ultimate meme, or memeplex, as some call it. The sum of all memes is culture, transmitted from generation to generation, just as the genome is. Meme theory proponents argue that just as we're the pawns by which our genes compete for dominance, so are we the creatures of our memes. You've heard such expressions as, the concept took on a life of its own, or never underestimate the power of an idea whose time has come. To mimesis, these aren't mere conceits, but rather reflections of the true state of affairs. In other words, that's what they believe. Actually, religion is not an accidental byproduct. It is a natural product of humankind rejecting revealed knowledge. Now, if theologians were to come up with some notion, as Dawkins, who is so-called scientist, is producing scientific evidence that God doesn't exist, and come up with some kind of cockamamie theory as memes, that really our ideas about religion are just that they are somehow mystically, magically transmitted from brain to brain and from generation to generation, and that's what accounts for religion. Now, religion is a natural product of humankind rejecting revealed knowledge. When humankind rejected revealed knowledge, they were left to their imaginations in trying to explain the great powers that they observed in the natural world. Thus, they made gods out of observed phenomena, and then ascribed mythological personalities to the various aspects of the creation. So they imagine a sun god, a moon god, and so on. The Apostle Paul addresses this very scenario in Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, in verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. God revealed himself to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and of course this knowledge was retained by ancient man for quite a long time. Virtually every culture on the face of the earth has a story of creation and story of the Garden of Eden, but of course it has been perverted through the ages, and to a large degree has become mythologized, but that doesn't do away with the initial truth and the fact that God showed it to them. Paul goes on to write, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. In other words, God's spirit moving upon what and God's spirit bringing that which is seen from that which is unseen. He says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, seeing their thoughts. They became puffed up, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creation more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. And that continues to this day, to the point that we have some people who are worshiping the environment, people who are worshiping Mother Earth, Gaia. It is doubtlessly true that humans have devised many different gods and religions, but the fact that there are many false religious systems and many misunderstandings concerning the plan and purpose of God does not do away with the truth. And it is doubtlessly true that all kinds of atrocities have been committed in the name of God and religion. But once again, that does not do away with the truth. That doesn't do away with the bottom line that God is love. As we saw in the first segment of our program, Dawkins accuses God of being jealous and proud of it, a petty, unjust, unforgiving control freak, a vindictive, bloodthirsty, ethnic cleanser, a misogynistic, homophobic, racist, infanticidal, genocidal, filicidal, pestilential, megalomaniacal, sadomasochistic, capriciously male-violent bully. When Dawkins and other Bible and religious critics look at bits and pieces of Scripture and the blood-stained, tear-soaked pages of human history and conclude that religion does not promote the greater good for the human condition, there may be good reason for that in some cases, but they have not looked at the entire picture. They have not really studied the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and they have also approached it from a skeptical point of view. See, the first article of faith defined in Hebrews 11:6 is this: for those who would come to God must first of all believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. On the other hand, to really believe in the so-called scientific theory of creation and the theory of evolution, one must believe that all of these things came to pass through chance and through accident. See, they don't really understand the who, the what, why, and how of God. Why did God create the universe? As I stated in the first minute of the program, that question is answered in a few short words. God created the universe and all that is therein because God is love. God exists in eternity. God is spirit. God created the universe because He wants to share who He is and what He is with sons and daughters in a family structure. The course of bringing sons and daughters to glory in His family has been set in motion from time immemorial, and God has allowed humankind to experience what it is like to go their own way under the influence of Satan the devil, who is the god of this present evil age. The pages of human history provide ample testimony to the course of human activity apart from God. Here we are in the most critical, crucial times in human history, and instead of calling on the only true source of help, we immerse ourselves more and more in the sludgy think tanks of the God doubters. Intellectuals, academicians, agnostics, and scientists who continually attacked our sensibilities with their pseudo-intellectual arguments that God does not exist, whereas they know almost nothing about the Bible and the plan and purpose of God. None of the intellectual arguments or so-called scientific theories are as rational as the belief in God as our Creator. Without the Creator, everything is left to time, chance, and accident. It just doesn't make sense. In other words, it is more rational and it makes more sense to believe in God than to believe in time and chance. So what about you at this critical, crucial time in human history? We exist because God is love. We exist because God wants to share who He is and what He is with us. Our only hope is to return to God, to awaken ourselves out of spiritual slumber, and seek God with our whole heart, and call upon Him while there is yet time and opportunity. You have been listening to World News and Prophecy. For the free literature offered on this program, What is Your Destiny? All you have to do is to call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888 886-5614. Once again, that toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. And be sure to be listening for World News and Prophecy at this same time next week.